Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. I am your host, Kay Snow Davis. I have a very special guest for you today, Daryl Shun. So no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is for you. So just relax, take a deep breath, breathe in your aliveness. Now let your breath out and release your stress of the day. Take a big breath in and allow the love to come in. And release your breath in gratitude. In our lives right now, this simple little process that we just went through can make all the difference in your world. Day by day, as changes occur, and many things that we really don't know how to handle, we don't know how to manage ourselves or ourselves in the condition, always return to the breath. Because as you return consciously to your breath, you will recalibrate your whole body. All of your systems can come back into greater balance just by consciously breathing. And let's remember this. Everything is energy and consciousness. Everything, all life forms. Einstein did tremendous studies on this in working with E equals MC square, working with the speed of light. And there's been huge, huge discoveries since Einstein left the planet. So it's becoming more and more conclusive in what we call the scientific world, that everything is vibration. Now, you know, our conscious mental identification of something doesn't make it real. It just means we recognize it. So we have always been energy. We have always been consciousness. Everything is. Now, the other species on the planet don't have a cognitive mind so that they can disassociate from this reality. So they live within the universal principles of truth. I feel our species is in a major, major recovery period. You know, when somebody made it up that the world was flat, that was just somebody's idea. It had nothing to do with the truth. And just think of how they marketed that idea with no TV, no cell phones, no internet, and it still hit the collective masses. And it was so strongly held as a belief that they killed Galileo because he said it wasn't true. As that truth emerged, the foundation for beliefs in that era crumbled. And a new world based on truth emerged. I feel we're at a similar juncture in consciousness. We made it up about density and about separation and this illusion of deserving and non-deserving and good enough and not good enough and right and wrong and all the polarities that have nothing to do with the universal plan, other than we have a polarized magnetic field that allows balance. A polarized value system creates disorder. So in this point of recovery, as we recognize that everything is energy and consciousness, so everything we have created in our mind as a belief system or a structure or a system or a currency of exchange or whatever we chose to entertain ourselves with by creating it, it all has to be reevaluated now. So as this tremendous upheaval on this planet is taking place, and we are recognizing huge amounts of energy are being expended and represented, and some seem pretty horrific. Remember, everything is energy and consciousness, and that which has been suppressed will be expressed in order for a new breath and new life to come in. When we made up this idea of currency, it's been around for quite a while. So you can imagine how many ideas have gone into that structure, into that exchange. Well, this thing called currency, like everything else on the planet, has to keep up with evolution. What does that mean? We're making it up. We don't have any idea. But it sure is a good idea if we can get as many options and as many possibilities as we can to explore the evolution of consciousness, where there is no separation, where there is no scarcity, where it isn't based on good and bad and a polarized value system, and return to the truth of how the universe lives so that our species has the opportunity to evolve. One of our biggest threats to our evolving with consciousness and order is the misuse of this thing we call money. Anytime the flow of blood in your body gets blocked, it's not going to be but a matter of minutes, seconds, until something will have an alarming response to let you know this doesn't work. Your body must have the flow of the blood, the oxygen, the water, the nutrients through your system in order for life to be sustained. It's no different with anything else. So when we look at money as a flowing currency, it's not flowing. It's being blocked. It's being held. And there are millions of lives suffering as a result of that. So I've invited Daryl Shun to come back and be with us on Global Family Live. And if you've just joined us, yes, you are with Global Family Live. I am your host, Kay Snow Davis. And today, we're going to explore money, gold, and now what? With my special guest, Daryl Shun. Daryl, thank you so much for coming online with us and returning to Global Family Live.
Hey, okay. It's good to be back, and I'd be content just to sit here and listen to you keep talking.
Well, thank you so much, and I know you've just had a great adventure in Hungary, and for people who might not have heard you on our previous show, I want to just give them a little thumbnail sketch of your amazing life. So we're just going to hit the tip of the iceberg here. And, you know, Daryl is of Chinese heritage, and he lives on this planet as an international citizen. His extensive life experiences and travels and global social interaction have prepared him to share his expertise regarding the world currency and our evolving global family. He's an internationally known author of How to Survive the Crisis and Prosper in the Process. Now, this is available at this website, www.survivethecrisis.com. Now, he's also the author of this wonderful, wonderful book, Light in a Dark Place, published in May 2006. Now, Daryl has a compelling interest in the economic collapse that he foresees for this country and its effect on the world. His extensive research is a support for each of us to prepare for the changes we must make and to draw on all of our resources, spiritual as well as material, to protect our immediate and global families. After studying the situation for many years, he has concluded that this collapse will give our planet a unique chance to order on a higher level. He's an international businessman, an entrepreneur, and a true artist of life. He's a member of the Positive Deviant Network, which is committed to this truth, that together we are better. Now, if you want a little more information on Daryl and to see his handsome face, you can go to Shun at Zads, ZAADS.com, or the newest site, which is www.d, as in Daryl, R, Shun, S-C-H-O-O-N.com. So there you have it. This is the man that's going to be speaking with you. So now let's go. Daryl, I'm so excited that you went to Hungary for this wonderful, wonderful conference. So will you fill us in on how you got there and what happened while you were there?
When I began my study of the causes behind the Great Depression, I ran across the writings of an exceptionally perceptive person. There's a, like questions of metaphysics and religion and God, there's a pile of opinions. And some of those opinions are right, most of them are wrong. And I found the same thing to be true in the field of economics, especially about the Great Depression also. A lot of opinions. And there was this one person whose writings were so clear, so founded in economic issues of absolutely fundamental truths, I was stunned. And his name was Professor Antal E. Fekete, Dr. Fekete. And
now, let's spell that, so in case anybody wants to do research on that.
Okay. His first name is A-N-T-A-L.
A-N-T-A-L.
His last name is Fekete, F-E-K-E-T-E.
F-E-K-E-T-E.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And if you Google his name, you'll find that he has a large body of work up on the web.
Basically. Great.
And so I began reading him and following him very, very closely, and I had no idea where, as I never do, where life is going to take me and where these interests are.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years ago. And but, you know, I followed him throughout the years. He's so complex that you'd read it and come back later, and he's very, very deep. And when I actually got in and I presented this analysis of the economic collapse that I saw coming, it just was clear as the writing on the wall, but to most people it's invisible ink.
Mm-hmm.
I sent my analysis to Dr. Fekete to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it, which was something to me. It really meant
mm-hmm.
something to me. So I presented this analysis at the Positive Deviant Network in March, and it was quite it was controversially received.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people just don't like the idea of being told that the bottom's going to fall out, that,
mm-hmm.
that we're in deep, deep trouble and don't know it, and it's going to come whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great deal of resistance to this. Well, what happened is that we turned this report into a book and put it on the web in May at www.survivethecrisis.com. And I started writing articles on the economy. And within 2 months, we got 10,000 hits from 93 countries.
Wow.
Which was astounding.
That is astounding.
I mean, I didn't expect it.
Uh-huh.
We had hit a nerve.
Right.
So what happened then is, out of the blue, I knew that Dr. Fekete had put on Professor Fekete had put on a seminar in Hungary last spring called Gold Standard University Live, and it was a series of courses in which he talked about the gold standard and free markets. This is what is known in economics as the Austrian School of Economics. And it's known as the hard money school, deals with gold, and it's at its basis, it's absolutely about freedom. Free markets, free people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the school that Dr. Fekete comes from. Well, I knew he was going to have another seminar, and I asked him where it was going to be. I thought it was going to be in Alabama. And he said, no, it's going to be in Hungary again. Would you like to come and talk?
Wow.
Hungary.
Wow.
And Martha said, my wife, she said, Darryl, she said, you have to go. This is such an honor that this man would ask you to talk at his seminar.
Right.
And I thought, well, it is an honor. It absolutely is. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to say. And plus the fact that the people who are going to come from around the world, they're going to travel all the way to Hungary, pay the, extensive expenses, $1,000 tuition fee for the week. And they are people who'd read Dr. Fekete's writings to such a degree that they were personally going to show up at a seminar. So I knew I was up against a very tough crowd. Not in the sense of disbelieving, but they had a great deal of interest and of intellectual ability at this level. And I really didn't know what I was going to say.
Well, from knowing you, Darryl, I know that's where the magic comes from. You just make that big open space, and the universe delivers amazing news.
Well, thank God the universe came through. I mean, it happened in the last part of August, and Martha and I had flown in, and we'd been in Europe 2 months before, so we were in the middle of jet lag, all right? And I was trying to adjust, and this I was going to speak on, it was August 21st, and it all sort of came together. I had an idea of what I was going to say, and it was amazing. It all came out. In fact, my talk is posted right now at www.drshoon.com. Just went up yesterday, and it came out. I was happy with it.
Great. I listened. It's great.
Oh, thank you. And what I'd like to do then, Kay, here is I'd like to go backwards from the back of my speech, sort of forward, to answer the questions that you put out here.
Great.
And start with the big picture first.
Okay, great.
All right. And at the end of my talk, I mentioned a book by an economic historian, David Hackett Fisher. And it's an extraordinary book. And Dr. Fisher pointed out the fact that in our history, in Western history specifically, we've had these waves. And we go through a period of stability and of social stability. And then, for some reason, every 100 or so years, the prices start going up.
Mm-hmm.
And as the prices start going up, social unrest begins.
Mm-hmm.
Social chaos. All right? And these periods last approximately 100 years of unrest and rising prices, and they always culminate in economic collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Economic collapse. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get another period of stability.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fisher pointed out that the first period that they had tracked was like the medieval time, 13th, 14th century. Went along. And then around the beginning, I think, of the 15th century or somewhere around there, the prices started rising. And not only did prices start rising, the Black Plague hit.
Uh-huh.
So you had 100 years of chaos. It was horrible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you had famines, it was starvation, prices went up, people got uptight. It was tremendous, social dislocation, social pressure. And everything collapsed. So here was the medieval times, the Dark Ages, as we know it. Feudal era, and what came out of that was a renaissance, period of tremendous growth. I mean, out of the Dark Ages, the light came.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the collapse, a whole rearrangement of society happened. And that went along for a little over 100 years, blah, blah, blah. And then prices started going up again. More social unrest. Same thing. In any one of these periods, because prices start going up, people get real nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who have money grab a little more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't have much, they try and grab, but they don't have much of a reach.
Mm-hmm.
So you get class warfare breaking out. You get hoarding. You get all these things happening. Things get worse. Blows up again. Economic collapse. Tremendous economic collapse. The whole system collapses. And out of that came the Enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther, Calvin. Basically, this is where the Catholic Church lost their power.
Mm-hmm.
And people started thinking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these periods of social stability interrupted by periods of rising prices, which are correlate with social unrest and chaos, ultimately ending in economic collapse and a new society. Well, we're right there again. We are right there again. David Hackett Fisher said, here we are at the turn of the millennium, we are in the sea change of changes. That this latest period of rising prices, which started in 1896, the amplitude of the social change and chaos in this period is greater than any period that went before it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we all sort of instinctively feel that something is up, that we're at the end of an era. And what we very often forget is that that means we're at the beginning of another. And we're going to talk about the role of money in how we've come through and what it might be in the future.
Daryl, I want to interject something here that as you're saying this, I've never seen this in this way, but the cycles that we know, the economic cycles that society goes through, on a big picture, I see this very similarly to how our body breathes. For every breath that comes in, there has to be a breath out. And so when we look at, rising prices begins that congestion of the free flow of consciousness, the free flow of creativity, the free flow of people's own joy. And so the counter response to that, the balancing factor, has to be the breath out.
Yes.
And if the breath out means the destruction of the systems or the monetary imprisonment, then that's what's going to occur in order for evolution to continue.
The new is not going to come until the old is dispensed.
Exactly.
And we are a part of the process. And a significant part, but still only a part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of where we are, I have a metaphor about humanity, okay? And I call us teenagers in the house of God.
I love that, Daryl. That's great.
And we don't know how we're going to be as adults. Just like when we were teenagers, we had no idea how we're going to be.
Exactly.
We certainly didn't know who we were then.
No, and the amazing and wonderful part is if we're alive, we're still in discovery because we still don't know who we are, but we're evolving with a greater desire and sometimes a greater focus.
Yes. To take that imagery back to where we are at this point of tremendous change, what we are find ourselves here in 2007 is looking at a world that is severely dysfunctional. And using your body metaphor, a world where the flow of energies, and especially capital and wealth, are totally bottled up.
Yep.
All right? And it's a function of our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a function of our consciousness.
Exactly.
The what you pointed out was that animals and all the other aspects of life, they don't have a cognitive mind where they can dissociate.
Right.
And we do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we've thought ourselves better for that, which is a part of the dissociative.
Exactly. Part of the great illusion.
Yeah, part of the illness. Like that. Schizophrenic thinking, well,
exactly.
I have multiple personalities. That's a good thing.
Yes, right. And we give drugs to a lot of people, but it happens to be a societal condition.
Look, I have 10 personalities.
Right.
I mean, we made a virtue out of dysfunction.
Oh.
But we're watching a system that has been here come apart at the seams.
Uh-huh.
and that it cannot meet the needs of the moment, of the present.
Right.
And that is a process of disintegration. I think the Hindus have a thing called the yugas and the destruction, you know, and the rebuilding, and it's all part of the same process. And it's certainly nasty to be in the destruction part.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's tremendously exciting.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not get subsumed by the fears that are natural during this period of time.
Right.
Because what is familiar is going to be swept away.
Yes.
All right? And what we have held on to make ourselves secure, is going to be swept away as a necessity to bring in the new.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that we hold on to life with a death grip.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what's going to happen is that death grip that we're holding on to life is going to be opened by a severe shock to our planet and to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There are things, there are emotional blocks in our body, in our consciousness, in the collective consciousness, in the individual consciousness, that has to open before the flow of energies that are going to happen are going to come back through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to happen through a severe systemic and personal shock, and we're in the process of going through it now.
Mm-hmm.
Money is, as everything is here, is a reflection of that cause of the flow of energies. Right? And one of the building blocks of our present paradigm, of our, presently the way we see ourselves, is we are seeing ourselves as separate and alone.
Yes.
And at risk and at hazard.
And from a scarcity-based value system.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's an absolute reaction.
Yes.
To our perception of who we are.
Yes.
In this reality. Now, the perception of who we are is false.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the perception that the Earth was flat was false.
Exactly.
But it certainly looked flat.
Yep.
And we certainly look separate.
Yep.
All right? And until we find out differently, you're going to be told that.
Mm-hmm.
But until you really get it, you don't get it.
Exactly.
I mean, okay, the Earth sort of looks flat to me, too. And this is a long time after Galileo.
That's right. That's right. Thank God for those pictures from the astronauts,
yeah,
right?
Right. It looks a little rounded now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's so true, Daryl, that, you know, the perceptions that we hold within our consciousness are so amazing because it does allow us to see the world as flat so we can, quote, walk on it, live on it, and drive on it. And yet there's a part of us that absolutely knows that universal principle of that circle of life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yes. And in fact, the part that doesn't know, that's the part that we have to deal with because that's the part that
right.
we're happening now.
Right. And baby step our way through it.
Yes. That part that doesn't know is in a state of dissociation.
Yes.
It sees itself as separate. It sees itself at risk. It sees itself at hazard. And as a natural result of that self-perception, which is false, though absolutely accepted by everybody on this planet, everybody here, all right, what the human dissociative self tries to do is establish control.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels that it's at risk and at hazard in this alien threatening environment that that's certainly out of its control.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sees only chaos here. So its reaction is it needs to protect itself. It needs to exert power. And the way that we choose to do that is through money, very often.
Right.
That since we're at risk of not having anything, then it stands to reason that the more you have of money, or the more wealth you have, the more abundance you have, the more cows you have, the more wives you have, the more castles you have, the more land you have, the more whatever you have, you're going to be a little safer here. Because it's a matter of safety. These are deep psychological reactions.
Right, right. Primal needs.
Primal needs.
We're talking primal needs here.
Okay. So what happens is that we're sort of in the same state as we were when we were born.
Mm-hmm.
Crying, yelling for money, for love, for
mm-hmm.
food,
mm-hmm.
you know, for mother's milk or whatever. Except now we're much older and we go for it in different ways.
Right, exactly.
But we're still trying to get more. We're still trying to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Hoffer said something that was very interesting, and he said, "You can't get enough of what you don't really need."
Oh,
and
that's a wonderful statement, Daryl.
Yeah, I remember when I heard him. Mm-hmm. I heard him say, and I didn't quite like Eric Hoffer philosophically at the time.
Yeah,
but I heard him say it. I thought, you know, that guy said something real true.
Wow, absolutely.
And this explains what we call greed.
Yes. Because that is such a good analogy.
Yeah. You can't get enough of what you don't really need.
Yeah.
But the conundrum there, the real paradox is that you don't know what you need.
Exactly.
So you're constantly trying to fill one need with something that's not going to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the mind, the associative mind, thinks, well, obviously, since I'm not fulfilled, I don't have enough of it.
Right.
Right. So it makes total sense to the associated mind, but it makes no sense at all in terms of truth and reality and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. And here we are collectively with the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a situation of where those who are most aggressive, those who are, in fact, most freaked out, you could say, about being alone and being at risk and being a hazard, are the ones driven to try and accumulate as much as they can while they're here. Right? And the ones who feel more comfortable or are not as driven by these needs and fears, they're content with less. Well, you put these kind of people in a pot, and I tell you, over the lifetime, there's certain people going to end up with all of it, and most of them are going to end up with less.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it's going to be. It's just the way it's going to be.
And see, this is exactly what the Dalai Lama represented in the New Millennium book. Hmm. He talked about in this millennium, our greatest challenges would be the disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it is. Ed, just as you're saying, Daryl, it's becoming glaringly, blatantly obvious and polarized.
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. It's bigger than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got this natural separation. Well, it appears unnatural, but it's certainly natural to mm-hmm. the process. All right. And how I think the cosmos is using this is to show two things. One, the cosmos uses this to show us the effect of our actions. The reality is really a mirror, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the metaphor of Sancho Pancho and what is it, tilting of the windmills.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's true. It's Plato's metaphor of reality that we're really screaming at the shadows on the wall.
Right.
Everything is a reflection of our inner consciousness.
Right.
And you're not going to, you can scream at it, you can change it, you can, you know, do anything to the figures out there, but you're not going to affect the root cause unless you actually affect the root cause.
Right. And they, T-H-E-Y and T-H-E-M, is us.
Yes.
M-E.
That's us. So, the deal is this. If the real problem was scarcity and the drive for more leading to greed and hoarding, is the direct result of the dissociative mind thinking that it's alone and at risk and at hazard. Unless it has more, it is really at risk and at hazard.
Right.
The cause is only going to be found in the reversal
right.
or the change of the dissociative mind where it finds out it is not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That it finds out it's really living in a cornucopia of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
That where everything you want is given to you. This is the real meaning of the metaphor of the prodigal son.
Right.
The prodigal son is whining around. He's out on a loan. He's fighting the world. He thinks his dad doesn't like him, you know, and he's trying to be independent. And, you know, and finally he's beaten down and he comes back and, God, you know, dad says, hey, there's your room. There's your house. There's everything you want. But he didn't know it before.
Right.
And this is really the journey of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
We go through, individually and collectively, a journey on this planet where it appears, just like it appears that the Earth is flat, that we are at risk, we have nothing, and we need more, and the more we get of it, the better off we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through that, and some people are given the gift of a lot. Other people never are given the gift of a lot. But there are many ways to learn the lesson that you don't need more than you need.
Mm-hmm.
Many ways. And because the process is different for everybody, but the result is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so collectively and individually, we're going through that. I think that enough people have achieved material abundance on this plane to realize it's not the truth. Only those who have enough know that enough isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
But to learn it's not enough is a lesson in itself. To the people who have nothing, a few of them can get there.
Right.
I mean, a few of them, you know, a few of them who have, quote, turned away from the world, sought inner peace, you know, meditate or whatever, you know. Maybe a few of them get there that way. But for the great mass of humanity, they're on the path of, oh, my God, I got to get here, I got to get there. And Kay, to be absolutely truthful, having more is better than having less on a material level.
Right.
I'm not speaking metaphysics. I'm not speaking any of that kind of stuff. But it's better to be able to, it's better to be full than to be starving.
Exactly.
All right? It's better to have a house than to live outside.
That's right.
And one of the negative things of the spiritual path has been self-denial. It's been a denial of the gifts of the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
If the reaction to our presence here on this planet has been so painful, that part of the spiritual reaction to this plane is, God, I got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not meant to be here.
Right.
The Western perception of life as being sinful, of pleasure and joy, is just the flip side of the Eastern side of the denial of the validity of the physical plane and its existence and calling this all Maya.
Well, and Daryl, you know, the thing with just exactly what you're saying, the pronounced distortment of that perception is constantly revisited for every one of us when we see the adults and their reaction to children, to babies, to puppies, to kitties, to the new life. You know, you can watch an adult that's crotchety and grumpy, and 98% of the time, a light will move through them when they see new life in some form, because it triggers that innate memory within us. We are the new life. No matter how old our cells are, how crotchety our behavior, or how denied we feel, we are the new life.
Kay, I love that. And I love you. You know why? Because it's so truthful what you said. But I'd like to add a little personal note on that observation. You are so based in the mother and the life and the flow of energy that this stuff is instinctive to you. The recognition of life, the recognition of oneness, the recognition of that which you're part of. I came at this game from a totally different point of view. Unlike you, I'm a man and not a woman. So my grounding was not in the nature and the life aspect of this. My grounding was basically in the mental dissociative part of it. Aquarians are very, very mental. Right, and being a male, in addition to that, just sort of locked on it. I'm Chinese, so when I got on or became aware of my life here, and I'm growing up, unlike you, whenever I saw little babies, I didn't have a flicker of life. Oh, isn't this wonderful? This gift that we're all a part of. Oh, look at that breath. Look at the joy of that new life. You know, Kay, you know what my reaction was? Oh, that poor kid.
Wow.
That poor kid. He doesn't know what he's in for.
That's amazing, Daryl.
Hey.
So
hey,
there's many others who may have that same perception.
Kay, this is, I don't know what other people have, but this is absolutely mine. And it's only been of late, the last 10 years. I'm 62, so it was in my 50s, late 50s, that it changed. And
uh-huh.
It wasn't a thing where I said, I'm going to change this, I'm going to look at life this way. No, because you can't change the emotions, you can't change the constructs. They change when they change. that I began, that I could, when I see a baby, I have, look, another one of us. Welcome to the dance. Welcome to the dance. And it wasn't that way before. And I've had it better than most, Kay. I've had an extraordinary life. I've had a life that people who haven't had love think, oh, if I could only have love like that, I'd be happy. I've had a life of where people who have no money thought, man, if I could have that kind of money, I'd be happy. All right? I mean, I've had my ups and downs, and probably more extreme than most people, but I've certainly known what the good side of this is. And one of my little litmus tests of reality was this as I was growing up. Is this pleasure, is this joy, is this moment worth incarnating for?
Uh-huh.
And the answer was no.
Uh-huh.
No. That the pain of dissociation, this feeling of separation, was so intense that basically pleasure was used and experienced not as the pleasure of life, but as merely a device to quell the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So people, when you have money and you have wealth and you're feeling at risk and at hazard, you can spend that money, you can drive around in your Mercedes, and you're not enjoying the Mercedes. And I tell you, there is a pleasure to a Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a pleasure to being in a hotel with marble bathrooms and
mm-hmm.
heated towel racks and
mm-hmm.
and room service. It's really superb.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But if you're not there enjoying it as the moment, like the Zen story of the guy falling off the cliff and seeing a strawberry on the way down, and he's hanging by a root, and he takes a strawberry and he enjoys it. If you're not in that space,
mm-hmm.
that suite, that hotel room, that heated towel rack, that marble, isn't going to give you the joy
mm-hmm.
that Zen priest feels when he tastes that strawberry. And so this is really what the deal is, at least for, you know, in seeing this joy of life and going through this is a very, very painful process for most of us.
Well, and Daryl, you know what you referred to earlier about us being teenagers in God's kingdom? It's like if we just play off of that metaphor and that idea, that we know personally as teenagers, we're very self-absorbed because our reality's shifting, the hormones are shifting. We're just trying to find our feet and our balance and where do we fit and how do we grow. So
I think most of us are just trying to find our genitalia.
Exactly. Exactly.
Feet? Where were they?
Yep, exactly. And if we look at ourselves as teenagers on this planet, the human species, in the evolutionary process, there's the aspect of the self-absorption and the disregard and the disrespect for many times all life, other than my own I wants and I demands. And then there's this part of the teenager where there's this, what we call the illusion of immortality and this incredible power and sense of risk and no sense of, you know, the laws or the rules or death apply to me. So when we look at the two faces of the teenager, if we bring in the risk factor and that power, then we believe we can do anything. And so if we use part of that teenage consciousness and that power at this time for transformation, while you are recommending and seeing that it's time for this cycle, then it gives us a whole new vantage point, too, to recognize we're not powerless victims.
No, not at all. The metaphor of the teenager in the house of God is two things. One, you're in the house of God. And two, as a teenager, you don't know who you are yet, but
exactly.
You're in the house of God and you have tremendous power.
Yes.
Tremendous power.
And potential.
Mm-hmm. And that process is there, and it takes time to to bring to fruition. You know, it's like I used to see time as even though I'm Chinese, Kay, I don't know where they get this idea about patience. Maybe it's, you know,
it belongs
to
the rest of the culture, not you, right?
I have none in a red light. I have no patience. All right. And but what time truly is this space through which phenomena and the creation comes to itself, comes into being. And so the time is not a negative thing at all. Time is part and parcel of the axis of the creation. But it's merely the medium through which all things need to come to fruition. And that's what we're going through. We're at that time. We're at a certain juncture. You don't choose whether you're born during the Middle Ages, or if you do, it's too late once you're here. or you're born during the Hundred Years' War, if you're born as a Zen monk, or you're born as a harlot, or, you know, whatever. You got your ticket, and here you are, and there's your costume, and there's your personality, and play it out. But we are all here at the turn of the millennium, and a period of great, great change, and the world is self-destructing on us and around us. And people don't even know it yet. I mean, Kay, I delivered my talk in March 2007 at the Positive Deviant Network, and to me, the signs of destruction were apparent. You know, I mean, you really didn't want me to be at your party. You know, you didn't want to sit next to me and ask me what you thought you should do about your real estate or your investment. You know?
Uh-huh.
You didn't want to sit next to me. But it was apparent. But nobody else thought. I mean, everybody's still rolling on. To me, the metaphor is like all those people on that bridge in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Or all those people in New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina hit.
Mm-hmm.
Or all those gay guys in the Castro before 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Liberation. Ah, fun party. We finally get to do it. Finally get to be. And it was coming. And what's coming as sure as any of those things is AIDS, as the collapse of the bridge in Minneapolis and the failure of the levees in New Orleans. It's coming.
And well, you know, when we have that phrase, to be forewarned is to be forearmed, what is your sense with this extended awareness that you have of the economic conditions? What is your sense and guidelines that you feel you can offer for people to, if they are choosing to wake up, what are their next steps to have more balance during this time of transformation?
Well, that's a, you know, the answer to that is found in the first 5 minutes of your radio program. Breathe in, breathe out.
Yeah.
Center.
Mm-hmm.
You stay in your center. It's all going to come to you. And this is going to be the balancing act of your life. May not be the ultimate, because we've all been through a lot. We've all been tested by it. None of us are virgins in this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all faced the flame. And we're stronger than we were, and hopefully we're as strong as we have to be. So inner balance, I'd say, is a prerequisite. That's for starters.
And so that's why we have such a disturbed society, because that magnetism to return to our soul and our heart and the essence of who we are is disturbing all of our value systems, so that nothing is ever enough, because we're headed in the wrong direction. It's not out there, it's in here.
Yeah. And we're being driven inside, Kay.
Yes, we are.
Leonard Cohen said, to every heart, love will come,
mm-hmm.
but as a refugee.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty strong.
Yes, it is pretty strong. And so that's the prerequisite, is balance, finding yourself. And whether you get to do it or not is that's a personal thing.
Well, and I think you've been, you know, you've laid such a wonderful foundation, Daryl, with your body of your information today, as you've talked about the disassociation and then the confirmation of consciousness and that that is the field within which this misrepresentation of greed is coming from, our own field of separation. And I feel like you were so clear in pointing that out for us, that it's the reunification with our inner self that will create a different demonstration out here in the world.
Yes, and it's coming. You know what? You can bank on it. You can have faith in it. Because whether you believe it or not, whether people believe it or not, the earth was round when they thought it was flat.
Right.
And whether we can believe it or not, we are still connected. We are part of the one. And we are part and parcel of the greatest miracle that ever happened in this thing, this universe.
Right.
And we're taken care of, whether we know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And learning that we are taken care of is not a pleasant process.
Right. And I think, Daryl, you know, when you were talking about the disassociation, it's like somehow, you know, in the same way this idea got all conglomerated into the world is flat, it's like we've got this idea conglomerated into that money is our savior. More is going to make it better, and more is going to do this and do that, instead of it's just part of the flow of our life.
Yes.
If it's exchanged.
Yes.
And moved.
Yes.
Then it's a part of our flow. Otherwise, it's like a huge dam
you
in the river.
You find out if you hold on to love, you don't get any.
Exactly.
Same thing with money.
Yep. If we don't give love,
eventually it's going to give way.
Yes, it will.
It may not do today. It may not do tomorrow. It may not even be in this lifetime.
Right.
But you're going to find it out.
Right. Because energy will, because it must and is movement, then if it, in any way, the illusion of blocking it, which is always an illusion, there will be either an implosion or an explosion or both. And I feel we're seeing that in health issues on the planet, mm-hmm. the implosion, and we're seeing the explosion in all of this nonsense that we call war.
Mm-hmm. We are we're at a very interesting period. You know the words that they said, that there was a Chinese curse, may you be born at interesting times. Sometimes I end a talk with, welcome to the most interesting times ever.
Right.
And we are here.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who are interested, I'm not the only one saying things like this. Go out and look. Go out and find out. You can go up to my website. You can go out and, you know, put you want to put out there, my writings in the book, and find other people who see the same thing. You're certainly not going to, for example, if you're interested in being a vegetarian, you should go meet a few. Go to a natural food store.
Right.
Don't go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse tonight for dinner. Because this point of view is not a commonly held point of view.
No, we're not going to hear this on CNN or Fox News.
No, not at all. They're in the crowd control.
Exactly.
They want to keep you in the game.
Yeah.
And what helps keep you in the game for their purposes is people's denial.
Exactly.
People don't want to know. They're able to keep the crowd in the chickens at home. By scaring them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth is, the gate's open.
Right.
Everyone's afraid to go out.
Right.
Well, the gates are open. What's going to happen is going to happen. And if you've got the wherewithal to go out and look at really what's going on and to look at the position in a different way, I would suggest that you do it now.
Yes.
That time is fleeting. It's... when I gave my talk at the Positive Network in March, there was no sign of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When I spoke in Hungary, the markets were collapsing.
Exactly. 6 months later.
6 months later. They were collapsing. All right? And most people don't even know. They're a little more nervous now.
Mm-hmm.
They know that there's little trouble in the real estate market. All right? They know. They hear about this. They hear about that. They have no idea. They have no idea the rot in the system.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's seizing up as we speak, Kay. This is Thursday, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Thursday is 2 days before September 17th, the day on which most commercial back paper has to be settled in the United States. and in the UK. There's billions at stake. The banks are I can't sell the paper. We have corporations. 71% of the corporations are now at junk status, and they live on borrowed debt.
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer, they've been living off that debt by going to the asset-backed securitization markets, which are in the trillions now, and it froze up. It's been frozen for a month. Now, most people don't know this. Most people have no idea the depth of what's happening in our economic system with the flow, the blood, it's absolutely amazing, all right? And certainly they're not going to tell you.
No,
they don't want you to panic. And the truth of the matter is, they want to get out of the gate before you do.
Yeah.
It's not that they care about you. It's not that they care about the system as a whole. They care about themselves.
Mm.
And the truth of the matter is, people don't care enough about themselves enough to wake up and to look around and see what's actually going on, because we're basically afraid of what is going on. And by not going to the doctor when you got that lump, it ain't going to make that lump go away. By not understanding and not looking and asking people, really, are they lying to us? What is this thing called money? What happened to the gold? Why are interest rates there? I mean, 200 years ago, I mean, interest was a thing that was a venal sin. Now it's the heart of our system.
Well, and that brings us right to exactly what you said. Time is fleeting, and now is the moment, and I can't believe that our hour is gone. So I, again, Daryl, I am always just so joyful and appreciative of your extensive knowledge, your amazing ability to amass this information. And I want to remind the people that now for a continued awareness with Daryl's work, go to www.survivethecrisis.com. And the newest site, www.drschoon.com. And continue your exploration of this amazing revelation. And remember, there is nothing ever that changes except in this moment. And so you don't have to wait, and you don't have to try and undo all of your history, and you don't have to plan out the future. That's all a mental masturbation. Be here now with your breath, and in this moment, renew your commitment to life. Remember that you're so much more than your bank account. You're so much more than the position in the community or in the corporation. You're so much more than any title that anyone ever can give you. You are the ultimate expression of life. And if you don't claim that now as your truth, it will keep pushing on you to recognize the truth of who lives in your skin. The truth of who lives in your skin is magnificent, is eternal, is filled with the power and the light of the universe. So my recommendation is, let's start right now and just cut it. Stop playing small. Play the biggest possible picture you can for life, for love, for breath, for balance, for integrity, for any of the qualities that matter to you. Play it big. Small is dead. So I want you to know that you can check out my books at www.globalfamilyeducation.com. You can go on a free teleconference call and review the material before you buy it if you'd like. That number is 212-990-7363. 7-0. Now, next Monday on Global Family Live with Kay Snow Davis as your host, we will have, again, a very special subject, and the word is changing. And this special guest is John Renesh. So I say to you, Anu Ai Ko Alahile, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again. Aloha.